I wanted to look with you this morning at one of the Psalms. And it's a psalm that the Lord has spoken to us, and it's, you know, become a precious psalm to us. And I'm sure it is to each of us as we've read it. You know, I'm sure the Lord's, you know, it's been quickened, and it's an encouraging psalm. And it's Psalm 121. And it's one of the Psalms of Degrees. And what that was is it was one of the pilgrim songs. And they would have certain psalms that they would sing on their journey to going up to the feasts and, you know, to back up to Jerusalem to celebrate, you know, meeting with the Lord. And so they would sing certain ones on their journey. And one of the ones is this psalm, Psalm 121. And so, you know, we can kind of understand that these psalms depict and speak to us about the journey that we have as we're journeying to the great city of God and, you know, on our pathway. You know, that kind of speaks to us of some of the experiences we have, and it's precious to us. Because what is so wonderful about this psalm is it's a promise. It's a promise of the Lord being with us, no matter what. Right? He gives that kind of that guarantee. No matter what we go through, He's with us. And, you know, He's our protection. And so, it's a short psalm, so let's just read the whole thing together. So let's read Psalm 121. Psalm of Degrees, it says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer your foot to be moved. He that keeps you, keeps thee, will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Amen. And so the pilgrims would be singing these psalms along the way, and, you know, maybe they had some good music that they could put it to, but that hasn't survived, but the words have. You know, and so we can read these words and kind of speaking to us of those experiences. And it says, you know, I'll lift up my eyes to the hills. And it's thought that they would sing this psalm when they got to Jerusalem. You know, of course, all of Israel had hills and mountains in it. And so, you know, they would look to the hills and they'd ask a question. You know, I'll lift them up and ask that question, where does my help come from? And so they would kind of say, does my help come from the mountains or from the hills? And the response is, no, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now, Jerusalem was kind of a fortified place, and it was surrounded by mountains, and it, you know, those mountains were kind of a protection for it. But they say, no, the Lord is my protection. He's my helper. And so sometimes God takes us through situations, you know, that bring us to that place where we find and have to experience, no, the Lord is my help. You know, He kind of takes us through things where our other forms of help fail us. They don't work. And we, you know, they never did, but we realize that finally. Well, I guess I can't look to that. Right? I can't look to that job. I can't look to that situation. I can't look to that thing that I thought would make me happy. Right? We all have those things, those ideas. Man, if I could get that, that would be fun. That would make me happy. I'd really enjoy life then. And of course, you know, when people get that, they realize, oh, there's nothing there. Kind of like in the desert. Oh, that mirage. There's water there. I can see palm trees. And you get there and it's just empty. You know, but that's the life. And that's what the things of this life become when we look to them for our spiritual satisfaction. But God wants us to know. He wants us to experience that He is the true source of help and strength and joy. Now, sometimes to do that, He's got to open our eyes. And sometimes our eyes can only be open when we're disappointed, when we see something or experience something, and it's like, oh, it wasn't really that there. That was disappointing. I didn't find joy in that. But God wants us to find our joy in Him. In verse 3, it says, He will not suffer your foot to be moved. And Of course, that was the song of the weary traveler. It was a long and a dangerous road. Right? He would not allow their foot to be taken off the pathway to, you know, to be prevented from reaching their destination. And of course, we know as believers, there's a lot of things out there trying to prevent us from coming to, you know, as in Pilgrim's Progress this says, the celestial city. There's a lot out there, a lot of enemies, a lot of temptations, a lot of distractions. And of course, we know the enemy is that roaring lion that's out there to devour us. He's also the one that sets up snares and traps. And, you know, sometimes it can be a little nerve-wracking as Christians. It's like, man, I got to do all that. Lord, keep me. Lord, you know, we've seen examples, haven't we all, right, of people who proclaim to be loving the Lord and following Christ, and where are they now, right? It's like their foot was taken out of the pathway, and so our cry is, Lord, keep us. But here's his promise, that as we keep our eyes on him, he'll keep us in the pathway. He won't allow our foot to be moved out of his pathway. You know, and it's like that precious promise in Jude. He is able to present us faultless before his throne. And that's what he's saying here. He'll keep us in his way. And that can be our trust. That can be our portion, if we'll keep our eyes on him. In Proverbs chapter 3, it talks about keeping our eyes fixed upon wisdom. And let's read that. In Proverbs 3, verses 21 through 23, it says, my son, you can put my daughter in there, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they shall be life unto your soul, grace to your neck, so that you'll walk in the way safely and your foot will not stumble. And here's the promise. If we'll keep our focus on him. And what is wisdom? Wisdom is really just making the right decisions. And what are making the right decisions? Doing what's right in God's sight. You know, if we make that our purpose, our priority, Lord, this seems like the right way. This seems like a better way to me. But I just get the sense, you want me to do this, that this is right in your sight. Scripture says this is right in your sight, but it's a hard one, you know. But yet, if we make that our portion, if we keep wisdom and the discretion, it means just, you know, being discreet, you know, keeping ourselves in the ways of the Lord, it will be life. It will strengthen us to keep us, our you know, our neck is what keeps our head in place. It keeps us focused, and he'll give us grace to focus on what matters in life. And when we walk in the way, we won't stumble. And that was really what the problem with the Jews was. Right? He came to them, and it says, they stumbled at the rock of offense because their eyes were on something else. They had a vision and a goal of, you know, a great natural nation. And the thing is, the Lord promised that. But they had the timing wrong, right? They just were outside of the timing of the will of God, and they set their eyes on that, and it just led them off, and they stumbled at that. But when our eyes are upon the Lord and we just rest in him, we walk safely. Another verse that's encouraging to us, verse 4. Behold, he that keeps Israel shall not slumber nor sleep. Sometimes you get tired and you get sleepy, you know, especially when you're weary, you know, and you've been, you know, I remember times when we were ministering and, you know, then we'd go out to dinner. And of course, in Latin America, they like to go out to dinner like at like 10 o'clock at night, and class would finish at 10. I remember there was one night we were out to dinner and I was just kind of like, you know, your eyes start to glaze over, and you know, it's like, oh God, help me to stay awake. That's us. But the Lord, he never slumbers. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get drowsy. He's awake, paying attention to our needs and our situation. He stands watch. And of course, the keeper was the one who stood guard. And he couldn't fall asleep. If he fell asleep, then the whole town or city could fall. And that was big trouble for the sleeper. In fact, in the Roman army, it was a sentence of death if you fell asleep on duty. Because, I mean, that was like if the sentry fell asleep, then they could be defeated. And so that it was a harsh punishment in Rome. You know, there wasn't anything other but just you're put to death. That was actually one of the reasons Babylon fell. It says the Lord put a spirit of slumber upon them, caused them to fall asleep and not be watchful. And of course the Persians came in and defeated them in a single night. But God says, I am your watchman. I will watch over you. It's impossible for him to fall asleep on watch. And so that allows us to rest. It allows us to have peace that, you know, well, we're weak. You know, we don't have perfect sight. We can't see what's coming around the corner. And sometimes that can make us nervous, you know, when we're just having to trust in the Lord. But the Lord wants us to know he's watching out for us. He has perfect sight. He has perfect hearing. He can hear the enemy. He can see the enemy. And he'll warn us and he'll watch for us as we're trusting in him. And this was significant, this song, because it was sung in the day and in the night. You know, when they were traveling or when they were sitting around the campfire, you know, just kind of, you know, anticipating the journey. And of course, when you're in the campfire in the desert, all you can see is the fire, right? It's nice and warm and bright, but when you're looking, trying to look outside, it's just pitch dark, and you can't see anything, you know? And so you're just trusting there's not some wild beasts out there seeing your fire, or there's not an enemy out there that saw your fire, and it's going to come and, you know, try and get you in the night. And so they would sing these songs, just trusting in the Lord. Lord, we're pilgrims on our journey, and we trust that you're going to keep us. And the Lord wants that song to be in us. He wants to give us a song of trust and of hope and of praise in him. And so he can develop this song within us as we trust in him. And we know from Scripture that there's going to be certain saints that are in heaven that are going to be able to sing these kind of songs. And, you know, it's that beautiful picture in Romans, or Revelation 14, of those saints, and they're on Mount Zion in heaven, and they're singing. And I love what it says about them. It just says, they sing a new song unto the Lamb. And it's a song that other people, even in heaven, cannot learn, because it speaks of their experiences on earth. God wants to put songs in our hearts, but through our experiences of trusting him, of walking with him, and hoping in him, and making that decision, because, you know, they're based on those decisions. Because when we're in a difficult situation where there's uncertainty and it looks like the opposite is going to take place, we have that choice to make. Well, I can give in to that fear and that worry and then try and fix the situation myself, or I can hope in the Lord. And as we make that decision, it's like a song is birthed in our hearts, and we'll be able to sing that in heaven. He wants to birth that song. And I think that some of the most precious songs will be the songs of the night. As are said in other places in the Psalms, he gives us songs in the night. Because we have to walk in the night. In verse 5, back in Psalm 121, verse 5, it says, the Lord is your keeper. And it's kind of an allusion to the Lord as the good shepherd. Right? He is the keeper of the sheep. He's the protector. He cares for them. And that's encouraging, right? Because if the Lord says he's the shepherd and we're the sheep, then he does a good job at taking care of his sheep. In fact, we can kind of link that with what he prayed to his Father in John 17 and verse 12. This is what the Lord was saying at the end of his ministry when he had finished it, he had done well, and he was going to go to the cross. He said this, While I was with the disciples in the world, I kept them, which is the same thing. The Lord is the keeper. He kept them, and that you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the one that was never really mine, right, Judas. But those who were following the Lord, it says the Lord kept them, right, were tended by the good shepherd, and he doesn't lose his sheep. He doesn't let the enemy get them. He's like David, when the lion and the bear comes, he comes against the lion and the bear, and he gets his sheep back, because he's a good keeper. And so when we're troubled, you know, he's at our side, he keeps us close, and that can help us to combat our fear. to remember and remind ourselves. And sometimes that's the problem. We're forgetting, and we have to remind ourselves, He is our keeper. He's good at keeping us safe if we trust in Him. And don't panic. Sheep are very panicky animals. My parents used to have sheep, and you know, you get near them and they start to get jumpy, and then when one gets jumpy, the whole flock gets jumpy, and then they're off racing off somewhere else. And you know, it's just, I thought they were kind of funny creatures, you know. If you just go, wow, they get scared real easily, you know. But that's the thing, is we have to govern ourselves in saying, no, the Lord is my keeper. He'll protect me. And so I'm going to rest in that as best I can. We don't always rest fully, but yet if we can just get a hold of that and hold on to that to keep ourselves from running into something else, into the arms of the lion and the bear, then God can keep us because He's good at that. Then in verses 5 and 6, it says, "The Lord is your shade upon your right hand. The sun won't smite you by day or the moon by night." And that word for shade can mean shadow. Right? The Lord is the shadow that covers you. And it kind of reminds us of that beautiful verse in Psalm 91. "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say of the Lord, He's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." You know, trusting in His presence is the greatest form of protection we can hope for. Sometimes the heat of a situation that we're in can be unbearable. And it's like, "Lord, I don't know if I can take this anymore." But His presence can come in the midst of that and just be a balm to us. Even though the situation doesn't change, the sun doesn't stop shining, or maybe it stops at the darkness doesn't turn into light, but yet in the darkness, we know He's there and He's a protection for us because we can sense His presence. We can feel Him guiding us, even though we don't see it or we don't even have a clear direction. He's just leading us one step at a time. But His presence is the key. You know, when we make His presence our hiding place, we're safe. Because that's His heart. That's His heart for all of His creation, for all of His people. And I like what Jesus said about Israel. You know, when He was on earth, and you just saw His heart towards them. It's in Matthew 23 and verse 37. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, if only you had come to me." You know, if only you'd responded and come to me and come under me, "I would have gathered you as hens, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings." He would have put us in that warm and comfortable and protected place. You know, He would have done that for Israel if they would have accepted Him, if they would have submitted to Him. Of course, He knew that they wouldn't. That was a part of His plan. But yet, that's the heart of God. He wants to gather us. When danger is coming, that mother hen wants to just gather those little chicks. And when it's cold outside, what do those little chicks do? They say, "Mom, let me under your wings. I want to get in there and be protected and be warm." You know, that's the experience of Psalm 121, of what He wants us to enter into. Then in verse 7 and 8, it says, "The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He will preserve your soul." I like that. All right, we don't want to be soulless Christians, right? We understand that. We don't want to focus on that. But yet the Lord cares about our soul. He cares about our feelings. He cares about our emotions. He wants us to be at peace. He wants us to feel good about following Him. And so He says, "I will preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever." For all eternity, He'll preserve our pathway. And, you know, we know the pathway just keeps on going. It just keeps brighter, getting brighter and brighter and brighter. And so it's a wonderful psalm because of what He wants us to enter into, of what He wants to do. You know, He wants to give us stability. He wants to guide us as our shepherd, protect us from the heat and from the cold and the darkness. And that's the thing about the desert. You know, it could be blazing hot during the day, but then it's cold at night. You know, you'll shiver and, you know, freeze at night if you don't have a covering. And isn't that what life is like, you know? you're in the furnace one day, and then you're in the dark the other day, and you don't know where you're going, and you're cold, and you know, it's like, Lord, walk with me. And that's His promise, is that He'll walk with us. He'll preserve us from all evil. And so, you know, we see that theme, and there's that theme we want to take note of. It's that the singers, as they were singing us this psalm, the purpose of it was to keep their hearts fixed, keep their eyes on the Lord, because they knew if they just walked and just looked at the desert, you know, and thought, man, how much longer is it going to be, or boy, it sure is hot, or boy, it sure is cold, or it sure is dark. They knew that if they just focused on that, they'd give up. It would be too hard of a journey. So instead, they sang these songs to the Lord to remind themselves, to focus on what mattered, on the end. They knew the journey was not the end of the matter, right? The destination was the end of the matter. And so they sang, and they kept their eyes. And so it's a reminder to us that we're on our journey. And so we have to constantly remind ourselves to sing unto the Lord. And sing unto the Lord is keeping our eyes upon Him, keep focused on Him, rejoicing, thanking Him, hoping Him in Him. Because as we do that, we enter into the promises of Psalm 121. Of course, one of the challenges about this psalm is the kind of experience that this is talking about is not necessarily a word of faith. It's not necessarily something clear where you have, you know, clear direction, you know, do this and, you know, you get a clear understanding of the timing and so forth, right? But it's a journey. You know there's a destination, and there's a long way in between that, and it's like, well, I kind of have a general sense and God's guiding me, but yet it's a psalm of hope, of setting our heart upon God and hoping that on the journey He's going to be with us in the day and in the night. Right? You don't always have a clear picture, but He's with you. You know, and that's why Pilgrim's Progress, you know, that book is such a wonderful book to consider, because He came to a place, you know, especially when He was in the night. Right? He came to that valley called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And He had to walk all night to get there. And there was all sorts of sounds and weird, scary stuff going on. And he had a sword in his hand, and he realized, my sword isn't going to help me. He had to put it up. Right? And there's that idea that, you know, sometimes God gives us a word of faith, and that faith can fight the enemies. But other times, we don't have a word. We don't have a clear picture. And we're just walking in the darkness in hope. And you know, Christian, it's like he felt the presence of the Lord leading him, and it just had to take it step by step. All he could see was there was like this kind of deep, black, dark ditch on one side, and he saw a quagmire, like a, you know, just, you know, that could suck him down on the other side. And it's like, I have to walk through this at night. But he did. He just had to rely. In fact, his weapon was the weapon of prayer. And so he had to just walk through that valley of the shadow of death, and, you know, could only walk forward and just trust in the Lord. He came out to the other side, and it was morning, and he looked back, and it was just, he couldn't believe he made it through that, but the Lord did it, right? It was the morning, and God guided him at every step. And so, you know, trusting in the Lord really has to do with hope. You know, really, hope is the foundation of faith. Right, as it says in Hebrews 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope has to be there first, that foundation, that basis, that when we hope in Him, it prepares the way for faith to come. Right? Sometimes setting our hope in Him is even more precious than faith, because it requires a dedication to the idea that God is good and He's going to protect me. He's going to keep me. I can trust in Him. You know, Abraham had this foundation of hope in his life. And we read that, what Paul says about his life. You know, it's hard to see that in the Old Testament, but Paul said in Romans 4:18, he said that Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope, against what he saw in the natural, he believed and he had hope in his heart that he might become the father of many nations. Now, God spoke that to him, but he had no clue how that was going to take place, because he looked at his body, and he looked at Sarah's body, and he said, we're a couple of old folks, right? How is the promise of God going to take place? It didn't make sense. But then, he had hope. Well, my God's greater than my natural body, and he's going to bring life. And against hope, he believed in hope. He didn't have that clear picture, but he had to trust God. And he trusted God for a lot of years, didn't he? He walked that journey for a number of years until God met with him. And so he had to hope against hope. And that's what sets him apart, you know, in Scripture. He became the father because he had that foundation where God could speak and he would hope in God. And he would continue on that journey until he came to that place where he got that fulfillment. And so, you know, this is a wonderful psalm. It's a psalm of hope, and it's a song. God wants this to be a song in our lives, a song of hope and trust. As we're on our journey, that we can say, Lord, you're with me. You know, I'm not going to look to the mountains and to the hills. I'm not going to look to the things that look strong in this life. But my hope and my protection is in the Lord. It comes from you. So this psalm is a message of hope. You know, it keeps us, as we can enter into this psalm and we trust him, it keeps us from being moved. God becomes the sentry of our lives. He watches out for us. You know, we can even sleep in safety because he's there in the night watching him. He'll keep his sheep, and he's good at it. He hasn't lost one yet. And he'll hide us in the shadow of his presence. He'll preserve us from all evil. And so he wants to put this song in our lives that only we can sing. That's going to be a privilege, to go to heaven and to be able to sing the songs that God has birthed in us. I think there'll be general songs of praise. We'll be singing those. But yet, won't it be wonderful that we'll be able to sing songs that other people, you know, because maybe they went through different experiences, but we're going to be able to sing, and people are going to be like, oh, what a beautiful song God birthed in your life. And it'll bring joy to others in heaven because he's done something in us. And so let's hide ourselves under the shadow of the Almighty, because he'll preserve us, and we can sing those songs for all eternity. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for this psalm, and Lord, your promises to us that you desire for us to experience, to enter into, to birth in our hearts. And Lord, we pray that even now, Lord, that you would birth something new and fresh in us from these words and from these promises. Lord, cause us to have that song in our hearts where we would lift our eyes to you. And Lord, that you would be our trust. You'd be our hope and our shield. Oh God, just cause this to be birthed within us. We know it's getting darker and darker out there, Lord, but you promised you would be with us, Lord, in the day and in the night. And so we trust in you. Lord, would you be our shield and our fortress? Would you be our presence, Lord, and shadow covering us and keeping us, we pray. And Lord, we just thank you. We bless you. We give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.